don't know, some people consider it an advantage and some a disadvantage, you will have a slight increase in autograph requests for a couple of weeks after it appears, if that's all right.
Oh, I see.
People usually, they read it, and I guess it reminds them of somebody, so they sit down and write them. Some people don't care for that, but most people seem to think it's fine.
Well, I mean, I get them every week. I get the letters from somebody every week for autographs or pictures or something like that, cards, you know.
Yeah. Well, you'll get a few more once this appears. I'll ask you 14 or 15 questions, and if you'll just answer them as short or as long as you want to, or if there's something you don't want to answer, just say so.
Okay.
Okay. First, before we even start, when I wrote you originally asking this, long time ago, longer ago than probably either of us care to remember, you were managing Sacramento Solons out in the Coast League. I lived near San Francisco, and the Solons were my favorite team.
Yeah.
And I followed them. They were awful. I hate to say that, but they were awful, but I sure did like them.
Yeah.
Okay. Who did you sign with originally?
Originally, I signed with Detroit.
Okay, you finished college.
College, yeah.
Right. Okay,
you were out of college.
You were pretty rare in those days, weren't you?
Pretty rare.
College graduate.
Well, I don't know. There were quite a few college graduates that signed up.
Well, back then I didn't realize there were too many of
those. Bots Nicola, he signed with the Yankees before I did. He was in my class.
Uh-huh.
He left school a year ahead of time. And, there were others who signed, you know, different clubs.
He ended up with the Tigers, too, didn't he?
Ooh,
at one time. Yeah.
No, he never. Well, wait a minute. No, I don't think he ended up with the Tigers.
Didn't he? I thought he was there for a year or two. He never had much of a major league career. He, I guess, made his mark as a scout.
No, I don't think he had more than a year. I don't know.
Yeah. I've got the record here somewhere. I'm not going to dig it out. That's beside the point. How long were you in the minor leagues?
Well, when I left, when Mickey Cochran came here, I was just out of college. You know, I had been with Detroit for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left because I wanted to, you know, get some experience. And so I went to Toledo. That was 1 year, and then I went out to the coast for 2 years. That was 3 years I was in the minors, Triple A.
What kind of record did you have in the minors?
Well, I at Toledo, I did not have a good record. And then for my first year out on the coast, I was out with Hollywood, and I did not have a good year. But then the next year at San Diego, I had a good year, and that's when Boston bought me.
Okay, what was it, 37 you came to Boston?
36
in 96 games, there, that. Okay, the next year, 38, you had a...
I had a good year, yeah.
Darn good year, yeah. What happened that year that made it so good?
What?
What caused that year to be so good? It was an excellent season.
Well, I know it was an excellent season. I just happened to get hot, and I was never a good hitter, and I had a good year that year. I hit .292, I think .291,
mm-hmm.
And I caught in about 130 games, something like that. And I just learned to hit a curveball when I was out in the Coast League in San Diego, especially.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I should have gone out earlier, but they never did send me out.
You, over your career, it was pretty tough to strike you out, so you must have been getting a piece of the curveball.
Well, I always got a piece of the ball. Yeah, I was a contact hitter. I didn't have the power to go for long balls, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were with Boston for 4 years,
yeah.
In which you were either the number one or essentially split time as a catcher. You were...
Well, yeah. When I went there, of course, Rick Farrell was there, the catcher.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got rid of him, and then I got to be first-string catcher for about, well, I would say for 3 years at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Part of 4 years, yeah.
Okay, well, then you went to...
Then I went to Cleveland.
Right. What was... Who did they get for you when you went to Cleveland?
Well, there was... when I went to Cleveland from Boston, Jim Bagby came with me, and Joe Heaving came with me. Mm-hmm. And then Boston got Pitlack and somebody else from Cleveland. I don't know who it was. I can't remember who it was.
Well, you at Cleveland came up, you got to catch some pretty good pitchers. You got Feller.
Oh, yeah.
And
Mel Harder.
Mel Harder,
yep.
What, does Mel Harder belong in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Don't think so?
No. Does he belong in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, does he belong?
No, he doesn't belong, but I don't know if he deserves it or not, because I don't know how long. He was up there a long time, but I've never seen his name mentioned for Hall of Fame.
He was on the Veterans Committee list a couple of years.
Was he?
But it looks like he won't get it, but he won 220 or 30 games, something like that. And
I don't know what his record was. Good friend of mine, too.
Is he a nice fellow? I talked to him a few weeks ago.
Real nice guy.
Well, you were within the Indians in 44. You went to the service?
I went to the service for a year and a half, so but I got credit for 2 years, you know, for, in the service.
Uh-huh. Came back at the end of 45?
At the end of 45. Not at the end, in the fall of 45, yeah.
Okay. Did you play ball in the service?
Did I what?
Did you play ball in the service?
Oh, well, I played some, but I managed I was in the Marine Corps, and I was at Parris Island, and I managed their baseball team for 2 summers.
Was that your first managerial experience?
Let me see. Yeah, that was my first managerial experience, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you came back, and you played a year with Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And did you become a manager after that season?
No, I went to Toronto again. I played a year at Toronto, which was in the International League.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you went to managing?
And then I went to managing, yeah.
Where did you manage?
I managed first at Williamsport.
Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania for 2 years. Then I came to Flint for 1 year. And then I went to Little Rock for a year. And we won the pennant there. And then I went to, for Hank Greenberg, he was the, Indianapolis, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At Indianapolis, that was their minor league club. I managed there for 1 year, and then I managed 2 years. I managed 2 years at Sacramento.
And that was the end of it.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. During your career, when you were in the majors, what, 12 or 13 years?
13 full years. Yeah, I was over 13 years, but they give me credit for 13.
Who was the best one player you think you saw in that time?
The best one player?
Yes, sir.
All-around player?
Right.
Joe DiMaggio.
Well, that's a question that's almost always answered that way. Who was the best hitter that you think is?
Ted Williams was the best hitter. Yep.
But DiMaggio could do it all better.
Oh, yeah. He could run, he could hit, he could throw. But he was the best all-around player that I ever played against.
Who was the best pitcher that you saw?
Who was the best pitcher?
Yeah.
They were all good as far as I was concerned. But, I tell you, when I came up to Boston, I started catching Lefty Grove, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He was still a great pitcher, but he had lost his fastball. But he had a lot of savvy, you know, as a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what he was doing. And he was a great pitcher. He was still a great pitcher until he quit. And then, of course, I caught Bob Feller for at least a year and a half, 2 years in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And then I caught a lot of other good, great pitchers. Like, and when I was in Detroit, I caught Earl Whitehill. And when I first came out of college, and I think it was the second week that I graduated from college, that I caught Whitehill, and he was a left-handed pitcher.
Right, I remember.
For some reason, he won 11 straight games.
Okay.
That season,
mm-hmm.
in 1930, and up until that time, he had only won 2 games. So they gave me some credit, you know, for catching him.
Sure.
But anyhow, that was, whether it was luck or not, I don't know. But I was able to handle left-handed pitches good, you know.
Well, you had a good reputation with the glove, regardless of how the pitcher threw. Not to change the subject, but Botz Nicola pitched 1 1/3 innings for the Tigers in 1933.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay.
He didn't do much. He was a He was strictly controlled. I caught him at Holy Cross, you know.
Uh-huh.
He was in my class.
That was just an aside. I thought I'd look it up while the book was here.
Yeah.
Who, you played under several different managers. Who was the best manager you think you played under?
Well, I'll tell you. I played under Bucky Harris at Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Boston, I played under Joe Cronin. And at Cleveland, I played under Boudreau and Peckinpah. And then, of course, I was with Connie Mack my last year in 47 at Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I wouldn't want to pick one of them. They were all good managers, I thought. Bucky Harris was a good manager, but he lacked some experience. I mean, or lacked something, you know.
Well, he was still a pretty young fellow.
Well,
in those days.
He wasn't at the time I was there.
I thought he was
when he first started.
Wasn't he just in his 30s? Maybe in his 40s by that time, I guess.
Well, he was older than I am when he died.
Mm-hmm. Which manager, then, not to ask you who was the best, which one do you think had the most influence on you?
Oh, manager?
Yes, sir.
Well, I got to give them all credit because I think Bucky Harris did a lot for me because he liked me as a catcher, and I think maybe he, as a major league manager, did more for me than any. But the fellow that helped me more than anything was before I went to the big leagues was my coach at Holy Cross College, which is Jack Barry.
Oh, the infielder?
Huh?
The infield, the A's infielder?
Yeah, oh, shortstop.
Yeah.
He taught me a lot of baseball, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very much.
Did he ever manage professionally?
I think he managed someplace, but I'm not sure because that was before my time, and I'm not quite sure.
That would have been way back, wouldn't
it? Yeah, way back.
What was your? Is there one game that stands out in your mind in your career? Not necessarily something you did, but one game, or maybe a game that you did that was a particularly good game.
Well, I've got a couple of games that I can, just a couple of, like when I caught Lefty Grove for opening day and. 1938. I caught him a one-hitter,
wow.
And that hit that they got was doubtful. It was almost a no-hitter. That stood out.
I bet.
Yeah, and then of course, in that same year, let's see. I mean, when I was with Detroit, Tom Bridges graduated from University of Tennessee the same month, and he joined the Tigers the same day as I did. About 2 weeks later, we were the battery against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium.
Oh boy!
And that was quite a thrill, you know, going up against Babe Ruth and Gehrig and Lazzeri and Crosetti and so many great ball players.
I bet.
And we were ahead of them. 3-2 going into the ninth inning, and finally, when they came to bat in the ninth inning, we got two out, and Gehrig walked, and then who comes up with the base?
Oh boy!
And we got two strikes on him, and Bucky Harris, who was the manager, called time and called us out to the mound, and he said, "Now look, be careful because this guy is dangerous at all times." So he told us what to do. He said, next pitch that you throw, he told Tommy, he said, I want you to brush him back right under his chin so he can't touch the ball. And then come back with a curve, see if he can strike him out, you know. Well, anyhow, we go back and I call for a pitch, a fastball, you know, inside, and I get inside. And Tom didn't get it high enough, and they hit it for a home run. They beat it 4-3.
Oh no!
And, you know that was tough.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
You hit three home runs in your career.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of them?
Yeah, I hit one against Red Ruffing. I won't forget that. In New York, I played with Cleveland, and in fact, I won the ball game for Cleveland that day. And then I hit one in Washington. I hit one in Boston.
So they stick out in your mind.
Well, they really don't stick out because I was not at home.
Yeah. Okay. Since it's been 60 years since you became a professional ball player, but a whole lot of changes. What are some of the changes? Are the biggest change, I guess, that you think you see?
The biggest change. Well, the biggest change is what happened with television. You know, that's why the players are getting so much money now.
Sure.
Naturally, it's because of television. And if it hadn't been for that, well, they wouldn't be getting that kind of money. And that's one of the biggest changes. Of course, another change is, well, there's been changes in gloves, a big change in gloves. I was at a game, well, we were playing a softball game, for example, all the Tiger alumni. We were up at Drummond Island, that's Monahan's place up there. And the gloves that they're using now, even in softball, are just like big nets.
Yeah.
And when I played, for example, Lou Boudreau had a glove at shortstop when I played with Cleveland that would just fit his hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a great pair of hands, he was a great shortstop. But, I mean, these outfielders, they play with outfield gloves that are almost nets.
Yeah.
You know.
With the size of the gloves and the... Pardon me?
A home run.
Yeah, they can... A boy that can jump a couple of feet and then still has 2 feet of leather sticking on the end of his hand.
And reach up there.
But the size of the gloves and the artificial surfaces they have, it's almost a challenge to make an error now.
Well, that's right, yeah.
People say how much better the fielders are today. I don't think I agree.
Well, of course, the fields are so much better, too. Now, when I played in Detroit, when, you know, 1930, the fields were not like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the infield, I remember... Bill Rogel and well, a lot of us, we used to go around the infield picking up pebbles before the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
even the real grass fields are so much better cared for and managed, and the grass is so much different than what they had in your day.
Oh yeah.
It's such a big difference.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of difference in the fields. Yeah.
Did you save souvenirs from your baseball career?
Oh, I did have a lot of souvenirs, but I gave them all away. I had about 15 baseballs signed by Babe Ruth himself, you know.
Wow.
And I gave them all away to kids, and I found out later that the kids used them to play ball with.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's true.
Those things today are probably worth, what, $3,000 or $4,000
apiece? They're worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the point. I understand.
I
should have kept them, but I didn't. You know, I gave them away to kids, nice kids or something that I knew.
Well, that's fine. That may be better than hanging on to them. That gives, at least they had some use.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you keep anything?
Oh, I kept some things. Yeah, not many things because my wife's got pictures and stuff like that. Mm. Outside of that, not much.
Well, it's nice to hang on to a few things for your career. You mentioned earlier you get mail from fans on a regular basis. Do you sign autographs?
Oh yeah.
That's good. A lot of guys. What do you think of this thing today of the players charging for their autograph?
I think it's awful.
Good for you.
I think players that are charging $10 or $15 or $5, $10, $15. I think it's terrible.
Good.
Every time I see Rose getting a sitting down and autographing baseballs for $10 or $15 an autograph, I think it's terrible. And look what's happened to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I guess, you know, $1 million a year is not enough, I guess, for some of the guys.
They get so greedy that they want to get, well, you know what it's like.
I think I'd be embarrassed if I was in the situation. If you went back to, but Holy Cross, right? You went back there. Would you do it again? Would you be a professional ball player?
If I went back to Holy Cross?
Yeah, if you had to start over again as a 20-year-old.
Well, at that time, I mean, I loved baseball. See, Babe Ruth was one of my idols, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And geez, that's why I got such a thrill out of catching him about 2 weeks after I got out of college.
Yeah, boy, I bet.
Behind him, you know. And so, I think I would. I love baseball so much, I wanted to be a baseball player, and that's it.
Well, that's good. I've got a 18-year-old boy going off to college here this fall that wants to be a ball player. And I wish him luck. I know it's got to be tough, but he sure wants to do it.
I had a son, too, that liked baseball, but I never pushed him. I don't think it's right to push him in.
Oh, no. No, no.
And I would recommend that to tell a kid that, listen, unless he wants to, he's got to want to be a baseball player real bad if he's going to make it, because, and he's got to have determination, well, so many other things.
Sure. And a lot of luck, too, I imagine.
Yep.
Well, he was hoping he'd get drafted here, but I was hoping he wouldn't, and he didn't. So he'll
go to school.
Pardon me?
Where does he go to school?
He's going to go to Georgetown College. It's a small school, NAIA school here in Kentucky.
Oh, in Kentucky. Okay.
Yes, sir. And he's a left-handed pitcher, and they didn't have a single left-handed pitcher on the roster, so this was the deciding factor between that and a couple other schools. Gene, I appreciate your time. I hope I haven't taken too much of it.
No, I appreciate talking with anybody who likes baseball, and I'd like to give them any information that I possibly can.
Well, I really appreciate it. I like I said, I was a fan of yours back in, golly, what, 53, maybe 54, something like that. I was about 12 years old.
Where were you then?
I was in Los Altos, California.
Oh, in Los Angeles, yeah. That's
yeah. I always rooted for the Solons, and most of the time it was disappointing, but I still rooted for them.
The reason, of course, I know about, I managed for Hank Greenberg at Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
and then he, of course, I knew that he had Bertie Tebbets coming there for, I was just an interim manager, and then he got me the job at Sacramento, and when I went there, I realized that they had nothing, they were operating on a shoestring.
They had, that's right, they had...
So forth, you know, they didn't have any money.
They had no players. They had probably as...
They couldn't afford to buy anybody or even get anybody. Yeah.
Probably as bad a group of AAA players as there has ever been.
That's right.
Just really sorry. Let me ask you a couple more questions. One, would you like to see a copy of this before I submit it to the magazine to make sure that I haven't said anything you don't want me to say?
No, it doesn't make any difference. You go ahead and write anything you want.
Okay. Well, I don't want to ever be accused.
I understand, but I mean, I am not the kind of a guy that's going to raise hell if you write something that isn't.
Okay, well, I'm not going to misquote you, rest assured on that.
Yeah.
Would you like a copy of the magazine when
I
it's...
Would.
Okay. Would you like more than one for family or anything?
Well, I may as well say more. I'll have two if you have it. I'll
sure.
give it away to somebody.
Okay, yeah, we'll send you a couple copies. Now, tell you, the publication, I have no idea. I submit these sometimes. They appear in 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. Sometimes they appear in 4 or 5 or 6 months.
What's the name of that magazine?
Sports Collector's Digest. It's a weekly thing, and they'll find a picture of you somewhere from your playing career or something like that to publish with it, and they do a pretty nice job. They're minimal misprints.
Okay.
Well, I sure appreciate your time, and I enjoyed it very much.
I appreciate your calling.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.